Okay, so the recorder is on now. I'm going to have to repeat the sponsorship because the recorder wasn't on before. So again, today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and L'Zichus R'Fuah Shleimah for Meir Yosef ben Yita. So with the first part of what we just did is that we had two versions of whether she says, when she said of a woman who's in childbirth, what the halachos are about being Mechal Shabbos. So the first version was that while she's Kever Pasuach, whether she says Shrichani or Lot Shrichani, we're Mechal Shabbos. Once it's Nistama Kever, regardless, we're not Mechal Shabbos. And then the second version was that when it's Kever Pasuach, whether she says Srichani or Ain Srichani, or even if she says Ain Srichani, not just that she doesn't say Srichani, she says Ain Srichani, we're Mechal in Shabbos for her. And if she, but Nista Makever, if she says Srichani, we're Mechal Shabbos, if she does not say Srichani, then we're not Mechal Shabbos for her. So there are two machlokas over here in terms of what Rabbi Damar Shmuel said. First of all, Kolzman Shekever Pasuach, according to Ravashi, if she says Beferish Ain Srichani, we would not be Mechal Shabbos. According to Marzutra, if she says Beferish Ein Srichani, I don't need, then we would be Mechal Shabbos for her. The second difference is if it's Nistama Kever, according to Rav Ashi, we're never Mechal Shabbos. And according to Marzutra, no, if she says Srichani, we would be Mechal Shabbos for her. So that's at least according to our Girsa in the Gemara, but there are other Girsas over here as well. So now, how do we Paskin? Normally, Ravina Lemarema, Marzutra, we had Marzutra teach us the din in the name of Yidomer Shmuel in a more makel way that calls man that the kever is pasuach, we're mechalin even if she says I don't need it, and by kever sasum we're mechalin even if she says we're mechalin if she says I do need it. And Ravashi masin luchumra, Ravashi taught it luchumra in the name of Yidomer Shmuel that if she says ain't srichani, we're never mechal Shabbos for her, and by kever sasum we're never mechal Shabbos for her. So hilchsek man, Amalei Alach Marzutra, Savik Nefashos Lahakel. We pass like Marzutra because Savik Nefashos Lahakel, we're always going to be Mekel and Pikuach Nefesh. Meimus Ay Psichas HaKever, and when is this point of Psichas HaKever that we're talking about? When does that begin? That we assume that she's in active labor and therefore we're going to be Mechal Shabbos more easily for her. Am Rabbi Misha Shatesha Valamashper, for when she's sitting on the birthing stool. Ravun Breg Rav Yeshua, Amar Misha Shadam Shosis Vyorid. It's when blood is already coming out. Amri La, and some say, when she's no longer able to walk under her own power and she needs support in order to be able to walk. We paskin all of this as far as when a woman has a status of anida in the process of childbirth, that when she's no longer able to walk on her own, she already has the status of anida. We assume that there's a psich sakever, an aim psich sakever below dam, that there's no such thing as a psich sakever below dam. Obviously, if there's dam, she would be anida, that even if she is still able to walk on her own, she would be considered anida if there's dam. Ad masai psich sakever, and until how long does psich sakever last that you could still be mechal Shabbos for her if she even if she doesn't say srichani? Amar Abaye shlosha yamim, it's 3 days. Rava Amar Mishmei Rav Yehuda shiva the amila shloshim, that it's 7 days, and some say in the name of Rava b'shem Rav Yehuda that it's 30 days. So aminar da'i chaya shlosha shivu shloshim, when a woman gives birth there are three time periods that you have to mark off as significant. There's 3 days, 7 days, and 30 days. In what sense are those days significant? Shlosha, the first 3 days after giving birth, whether she says she needs it or whether she says dafka, I don't need it, you're mechal Shabbos for her. Shiva, within the first week, if she says she needs it, we're mechal Shabbos for her, but if she says I don't need it, then we would not be Mechal Shabbos for her, like Marzutra, that even after Stima Sakever, if she says Tzricha Ani, we would still be Mechal Shabbos for her. Shloshim, within 30 days, Afilu Amra Tzricha Ani, Ein Mechal Nalas HaShabbos. We would not be Mechal Shabbos for her, Aval Osna Al Yidei Armoy. But even then, within 30 days, we would still do Al Yidei Goy. We would still be Mechal Shabbos Al Yidei Amir La'akum, because she has din of a Chol HaShem Basakana, and a Chol HaShem Basakana, you're allowed to do Amir La'akum to treat The Ritva points out over here in the name of the Tosos that these days are all counted me'es la'es, meaning we don't say calendar days. The baby could have been born 5 minutes before Shkia, so you might say, okay, day number one is those first 5 minutes. Day number two starts, 6 minutes later. So no, that's not the way we assume, says the Ritva. We count 72 hours from childbirth, and the 7 days are also counted me'es la'es from childbirth. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says the Ritva held otherwise, that we don't count Me'es La'es, that we count based on the calendar day. So Mishra Brura quotes Shitos and Achronim, who the Paskim like, and he says, L'maisu we should be Mekel, because it's a matter of Pikuach Nefesh, so we're Mekel, but if you have a Goy available, so you can be Memait, the Chil Shabbos, and the Goy can do the Chil Shabbos for you, best to be Machmir when you're past the calendar days, but you're still within the Me'es La'es, so best to be Machmir to do Aliday Amir La'akum, and not to do it directly. This is also Benogea to eating on Yom HaKippurim, that the first 3 days after childbirth, a woman is not allowed to fast in Yom HaKippurim. So Mishra Brura writes, yeah, that's the first 72 hours. What happens if in the middle of Yom HaKippurim you hit 72 hours? So then in Echinami, the chiyuv to eat goes away, meaning it's a woman's not allowed to fast within 72 hours. So that only means that if the entirety of Yom HaKippurim is within those 72 hours, then she's not allowed to fast. But if for the first couple of hours of Yom Kippur, she happened to not eat anything, and then she hits 72 hours, a couple of hours into Yom HaKippurim, then she's taka allowed to fast the rest of the day. In fact, she's only allowed to eat if she feels that she needs to eat. And then she would be able to eat if she feels that she needs to eat within 7 days. That's what we paskin la halacha in Shulchan Aruch and the Mishra Brura paskins that way. That one of my kids was born within 72 hours of the 72 hours was up during Yom HaKippurim. So we had that shaila. Rav Shechter thinks that this whole din of 72 hours is not nogeya b'zman hazeh. That nowadays women are released from the hospital just a few hours after giving birth. She's already doing classes at the gym 2 days after giving birth. It's not the same as it used to be, where a woman was out of commission for like 2 weeks after childbirth. So he thought we shouldn't necessarily treat everyone as a chalas sheyesh bo sakana for the first 72 hours. But I think most poskim assume that we still do treat her as a chalas sheyesh bo sakana for the first 72 hours after childbirth. Kedrabula b'rei Rabbi Lai, da'amar kol tzarchei chala nasna al-yidei amoy b'shabbos. Any tzarchei chala we can do al-yidei amir lakum on Shabbos. Kedrabamnuna, da'amar sheyesh bo sakana, amar l'akum b'yosa, that whenever it's a da'amar sheyesh bo sakana, you can do amir lakum and help a chala out in that way. So now, says the Gemara, it's the importance of warming up a chola. Amar Rabbi Domer Shmuel, l'chaya shloshim yom. That we said that for yoledas, that it's 30 days from the leida, you do amir la'akum to help her out. L'may ilchasa, sa'amin ardoi l'tvila. That the idea l'chaya shloshim yom has a very important ramification, that the yoledas should not be tovelas until 30 days after giving birth, because the cold of being tovelas is going to be dangerous for her. Amar Rava lo amaran el'shein baila ima. Aval baila ima baila mechamima. That's only if she can't be intimate with her husband, the husband's not around. But if her husband's around and she can, and he can warm her with the body heat, so then she can go to the mikveh. She could be tovelas even within 30 days. Kiyad debarte Rav Chista, like the story happened with Rav Chista's daughter, who happened to have been Rava's wife. Tavla begot tlasin yomin. She went to the mikveh within 30 days of giving birth. Shelo b'fnei baila, and Rava was out of town. Mistami was in yeshiva or something. V'itztanias, and she became very cold. V'amti larsa basrei d'Rava l'pumbedisa. And they slept her bed. They put her in an ambulance and brought her to Rava in Pumbedisa, because she needed the body warmth of her husband in order to save her in that situation. Amar Rabbi Dovah Shmuel, osin madura l'chaya. We make a fire for a chaya, for a yoledes, b'shabbos, on Shabbos, in order that she shouldn't get too cold, and she shouldn't come to a point of sakana. So we thought, yeah, for a yoledes, yes, we'll do such a thing. But for other cholim, you're not letting make a madura, because it's not going to lead to sakana. And even that is only during the winter time. But during the summertime, where it's plenty warm outside, there's not going to be this coldness that's going to lead to sakana. And it says, then there's a question whether we're goris velohi. Let's skip the parentheses. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Amar Shmuel, Hik is dam v'nitzdanin. If a person did bloodletting and then became cold, osin l'madura afil b'tkufas tamuz. We would make a fire for them even in tkufas tamuz, even in the heat of the summer. I guess that's a dafyomi coincidence that in the heat of the summer, in the when it's very hot outside, we would still make a fire for them because the coolness that they experience after Akazas Dam is going to be dangerous for them. Now the Mefarshim are not sure whether we're talking about a Yoledis B'toch Shiva L'Leidasa or B'toch Shloshim L'Leidasa. And by Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana or Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. So the Magen Mishnah, the second parak of Hilchos Shabbos, says that the Pashtus says that we're talking about a Yoledis B'toch Shiva L'Leidasa and a Chola She'yesh Bo Sakana. That as far as making a fire, we're Mechal Shabbos for it, and for this chole, even if we don't know that it's necessarily going to be a sakana. However, the Ravid says the Magen Mishnah sounds not that way. It sounds that he understands we're talking about a yoledus within shloshim and a chole she'ein bo sakana. And even a chole she'ein bo sakana, there's a chashash that if he gets too cold, it will become a chole she'esh bo sakana. So even though right now he's not a chole she'esh bo sakana, which is an important yesod, that if a person currently is not yesh bo sakana, but you know that if they don't eat on Yom Kippur, if they don't whatever you're going to do, they're going to become a chole she'esh bo sakana, you don't have to wait till they get there. You don't have to wait until they're deathly ill. You're allowed to do whatever is needed in order to make sure they never get to that point. Says Gemara Vayter, Shmuel tzolchu le'tachtucha d'shaga, that they chopped up a beautiful chair made out of expensive wood in order to use it as firewood in order to warm Shmuel up when he was after his bloodletting. Rav Yehuda tzolchu le'petora d'yavna, and Rav Yehuda also, after he was bloodletting and they couldn't find any firewood, so they chopped up a table that was made out of a certain type of wood that was very expensive, like a mahogany table or something. And for Rabba, they chopped up a bench that also, after he bloodlet, because he needed firewood. This isn't a baltashkus, even though these are baltashkus in the Torah, is dafka chopping down fruit-bearing trees, but we assume that it's expanded, that the Yisr in general is expanded to anything that's wasteful, and if you're going to take an expensive piece of furniture and stam use it for firewood that seems unduly wasteful, so Amalei, Baltashkus to Gufay Yadafli. The Baltashkus of my body is much worse. And this is an important concept. You see that there is such a concept of Baltashkus to Guf, that if a person does something that's unhealthy for them, it's a Baltashkus of their body. A person buys a dozen donuts and then he only eats three of them. There are nine left. So now he says, ah, Baltashkus, I'm going to throw away nine donuts. So in such a situation, Baltashkus to Gufay Yadifa, right? It's the Baltashkus of his body, destroying his guf, is a much worse Baltashkus than throwing out the extra donuts, mistama. I think it's safe to say that. So the Yad David points out over here that it's David, the Kasha was only asked on Rabbah. I mean, we had three stories where they destroyed very good furniture, and only in one case did we ask, it's a violation of Baltashkus. It could be that the Metzius was different in each case, that the first two cases it was obvious that this was the only firewood they were going to be able to find. And in the third case, they thought, maybe you put in a little more effort, you'll be able to find some regular firewood. And that's the Chiddush, that even if with a little bit more effort, he could have found regular firewood, still Baltashkus to Gufay Yadav. He doesn't have to go ahead and do that, because he could just take whatever wood is most readily available to him. So now some basic health practices after bloodletting. Wearing shoes is so important that you should sell your home, the beams of your house, in order to buy shoes if you need them. But if you bloodlet and you don't have what to eat, that meal is so important, you should sell the shoes off your feet in order to buy that meal. What are the tzarchei suda that you have right after bloodletting, meaning what should one eat? Rav amar basar, Shmuel amar yayin. Rav says meat, Shmuel says wine. Rav amar basar nafsha chol nafsha, because since the dam is the nefesh, so in place of the nefesh, you eat something that was once alive. And Shmuel amar yayin, sumka chelv sumka. Since blood is red, you drink something that is red, so you have to have red wine after bloodletting. Shmuel b'yomadav milsa avdi le tavshila de tachali. They used to make a dish with spleen for Shmuel on the day that he was make his dam. Rabbi Yochanan shasi adinafik tiyame une. He would drink until the smell of wine came out of his ears. Rav Nachman Shasi ad kafi tachle. He would drink until his own spleen was floating in wine inside of himself. Rav Yosef Shasi ad nafik mirivda to kasilta. He drank until wine came out of the pores of his flesh at the time that from where they did the hakazas dam, that the holes that they made in his skin, that wine was coming out of there. Rav Mahadar Achamar Bartal Mistama, these are guzmaus, that they would. I don't know how much you'd have to drink in order for the smell of wine to come out of one's ears. Mistama, the Gemara is Dibru Chachamim Balashim Guzma. Rava Mahadra Chamer Batal Satafri. Rava would look for wine that had three branches, that would, meaning 3-year-old wine. Amru Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rabban Matusa Minaychu Biyom Adakazur Imru LeBeisaychu Nachman Nikla LeGaban. That he used to advise them. Rav Nachman used to advise people that on the day that you do Akazas Adam, tell your wives that the Heliger of Nachman is coming for a su'uda, and then they're going to pull out all the stops. They'll prepare a big meal. I'm not actually coming for a su'uda, but that's the kind of su'uda you're going to need after Kazas Hadam, which is interesting. Meaning, I guess he knew his chashivus in the eyes of his talmidim and their wives. And say that the Rosh Yeshiva is coming, and then he knows that they're going to prepare a big meal. Generally, you're not allowed to do tricks. You're not allowed to trick people into giving you things, except for the following type of harama that's mutter. If someone did a kazas dam and he doesn't have the ability to buy wine, lishkol zuza macha, he should take a zuz that's not good anymore. It's rubbed out a little bit, and therefore the storekeepers are not going to be excited about accepting it as payment. Veleza l'shev chanusa, and he should go to 7 stores and say, oh, can I have a sample of the wine first to taste it before I buy it? And they'll give him a little sample size, a sample taste, say, oh, I love this, I want to buy it, and then give that zuz. And each storekeeper will say, I'm sorry, I can't accept this zuz. And then go to the next store and have a little sample size, and it's like people do with ice cream. Adetoyim shir reviyasa, until he has a reviyas of yayin with all the stores that he went to take a sampling of the wine. Rav Yaakov Emden, Amar Ktsia, says, come on, isn't this Gnevas Das, right, that you're going around? So he says, it has to be that, no, he's perfectly willing to buy wine with that zuz, and it's legally acceptable currency. It's just that the storekeepers don't like to accept it, and they're really in the wrong for not accepting it. They should accept it. They prefer not to. They like their crisp dollar bills and not crumpled up dollar bills. That has to be the case, he says. Otherwise, it's Gnevas Das, and it's very likely Gnevas Mammon as well, because you're taking the actual wine from them. So that's how we suggest. Other achronim, not so sure. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. Okay, below, and meaning the assumption is that it's sakana. Question is, are you allowed to steal b'makom sakana? Are you allowed to be matzal atzmo b'mamon chavero? So that's the sugi maseches b'avakama, that was the shaila that David HaMelech asked of the Sanhedrin, whether he could be matzal atzmo b'mamon chavero. So even if it is sakana, it could be that you're not allowed to use other people's money in order to save your own life. That's a question how you understand. It's a machlokas rishonim, and that's sugi b'avakama, what David HaMelech's shaila was. Is the shaila, am I allowed to save my life b'mamon chavero? Or is the shaila, no, of course I'm allowed to save my life. The shaila is, do I have to pay back afterwards? Do I have to pay back the money that I used afterwards? Okay, v'ilo, and if a person doesn't have even a bad coin to be able to pull this trick with, lechol shev tamari ukamti, you should have 5 black dates. V'leishu mishcha b'tzidei, and you should put oil on his forehead, on his temples. V'nigmi b'shimshen, he should lie down in the sun. Avlate, a certain non-Jew named Avlate, Ashkei l'Shmuel d'gani b'shimshe, he found Shmuel lying in the sun. Amlei Chakima d'Yudai, the wise Jewish sage, Bisha mi'avitava, is something that's generally bad for you all of a sudden going to be good for you? Meaning the sun is generally an unhealthy thing. You're not supposed to stay out in the sun too long. Amlei Yom Da'akazu, he says, oh, it's my day of bloodletting, and therefore the sun, the warmth that the sun provides, is very important. V'loi, and it's not true, Alika Yom D'mali b'shimshe b'kulei shata, that there is a day in the year that the sun is very good, Yom Adinafle Beit Tkufas Tammuz, and that's the day at the beginning of Tkufas Tammuz. But Shmuel said, why should I tell him that? He doesn't want to share that information. Mishnah, and that's really why he was sitting out in the sun. It had nothing to do with bloodletting. Rav and Shmuel, Dami Tarvayu, Rav and Shmuel both said, "Kala Megal Besudas Hakazus Dam Mikilin Lo Mizonosim Min Hashemayim VaOmrim Hu Al Chayev Lochas Ani Ochus Alav." That on the day that a person does Hakazus, if someone is not careful about eating a suuda on the day of Hakazus Adam, so they would be Mekel is Mizonos Min Hashemayim, and they say that he's not even careful about his own life, so I should have Rachmanus on him. Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, Haiman David Milsa, if a person did Hakazus Adam, Lo Leisiv Hecha De Karach Zika, he should not sit in a place where the wind will blow. Dilma Shafi Le Umna, because maybe the blood letter took a little too much blood out of him, and he only left him with the revius of dam, which is the bare minimum that a person needs to survive. And the wind is going to blow and is going to draw out some of that dam, and and then he's going to be left in a dangerous spot. Shmuel would only do Hakazus Adam in a place that was perfectly protected from the wind. It had the walls were so thick, there were 7 bricks and an ariach, which is another half brick. One day he did Hakazus Adam and he felt that he was very weak, something went wrong. And he checked the walls, and they weren't quite as thick. They were still shevelivni, but that one ariach was missing. That one extra half brick was missing, and he was able to detect that subtlety of difference in terms of in terms of the wind, the breeze that was able to get through the walls. Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu. Rav and Shmuel both say, "Haiman David Milsa, person did Hakazus Adam limut midi va'adu lepuk." Little midi, rather, vadalepuk. He should have something to eat and then go out. He lo ta midi, because if he doesn't eat anything, ipaga b'shichva yarka ape. If he comes across a mace, his face is going to turn green. Ipaga b'man dekatlanach, and if he comes across someone who killed somebody, missed, then he's going to die himself. And ipaga b'davar acher, and if he comes across a chazer, kashal davar acher, then he might have tzara'as. Davar acher is called tzara'as. The Rashi points out that the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, as sarah kavin negoyim yardu liolam, tisha natu chazirim, that there are 10 measures of negoyim that came into the world, and 9 of them were taken by chazirim, and that's why, if he's pogea in a chazir, that's why he's going to be susceptible to tzara'as. Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, Haiman David Milsa, Lishchei Porta V'Hadaleikum, a person who did bloodletting should wait a little bit before he gets up. He shouldn't suddenly just pop out of bed after bloodletting. There are 5 things that could cause a person to become closer to death than to life. Ve'elu heina, they are. Number 1, achal v'yamad, a person who eats and then just pops right up, stands up very quickly. Shasa v'yamad, a person who drinks and then gets up right away. Yashin v'amad, a person who sleeps and then right away jumps out of bed. Hikiz dam v'amad, a person does Hakazus Adam and jumps right up. Shimish mitasa v'amad, or he has tash shamita, and then he jumps up right away. So that is an unhealthy practice. One should get up slowly after doing all of those activities. Amar Shmuel, Pursa d'dama, the time for Hakazus Adam is best, kaltos in yomin, for all 30 days, ubeina prakim, meaning every 30 days, a person should be make his dam, meaning that's the frequency that a person should be make his dam. But ubeina prakim, but once a person reaches the age of 40, yima'it, he should do a little bit less, and he should do only once every 2 months, ubeina prakim. Then when he reaches the age of 60, yachzer v'yima'it, he should again make the schedule even less. It should be once every 3 months. V'yamar Shmuel Pursa D'dama, this time for Hakazus Adam, Chad B'Shabbata, it should be on a Sunday, Arba of Umali Shabbata, and on Wednesday, and on Erev Shabbos, Avol Sheni V'Chamishi Lo, but a person should dafka not do Hakazus Adam on Monday or Thursday. Why? What's so bad about Monday or Thursday? Damar Mar, Mishi Yesh Lo Zuchus Avos, Yak Hazdam B'Sheni V'Chamishi. If you happen to have a great Zuchus Avos, so then you do Hakazus Adam on Monday and Thursday. Shabbat Shalmaila V'Shalmata, Shavin Ke'echad, because on those days, Bezin Shalmaila, is Yoshev, because we know those are the days of Zman Beis Din Shel Mata, and the Beis Din Shel Maila sits on the same days as the Beis Din Shel Mata, and therefore It's a time of din, so you don't want to do something dangerous like Hakasa Saddam specifically at a time of din. In fact, based on this, the Rokeach writes that the minig is that on Monday and Thursday we say a long tachmun. We say v'hurachu michaper avon v'lo yashchus on sheni b'chamishi, because sheni b'chamishi are days of beis din, both lemaila and lemata. So you have to add this extra tchina, and that's what the Kolba writes as well. That after Shmona Esrei we say this long tefillah of tachnunim because of it's a time of din, and we on a Yom HaDedina, we want to daven for extra rachmanus. And Sefer HaMachim, he says, that's why Ezra was masakin, dafka we do Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni V'Chamishi more than other days, because we need it more than we need on other days. At a time of din, we need a little bit extra. Sfasemis just raises the question. He says, why is it such a reisa that Bezen Shalmaila is Yoshev on that day? Adrab, it's Shalmaila. The Medrash tells us in Devarim Rabbah that Bezman Sheyesh Din Lamata ain't Din Lamaila. Against what our Gemara says, that they're on off days from each other, that whenever there's din down here, there's no din up there. When there's din up there, there's no din down here. And furthermore, the Torah writes that we remember B'Tachnunim on Monday and Thursday. Why? Because they're Yimei Ratzon. They're specifically days of Ratzon. That's what the Magen Avraham quotes as well, that they're days of Ratzon. And that's why they say Tachnun, a longer Tachnun on Monday and Thursday. Dafka at a time of Ratzon, meaning this is similar to Dir Shor Hashem B'Yimatzo, Kiru B'Yoso Karov, that Dafka when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closest to us on days that are days of Ratzon, that's when we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's also why we're Kori B'Torah on Monday and Thursday, as some of the Achronim explain. That it's also because of Dir Shor Hashem B'Yimatzo, Kiru B'Yoso Karov. So those are the two basic Mahalchim in why it is that, in today's Daf Yomi coincidence, today's a Monday, of course. Those are the two basic malachim in terms of why we have the longer tachnun and kriyas haTorah, and also why we fast, why there's a tainis baham. Is it better to fast dafka in times of ratzon, kiru b'yoso karov, or no, dafka in times of din, where we need the extra fasting? So those are the possibilities. Okay, says Mar B'tlasavish about the my time alone. Why not to be makers dam on Tuesday? Mishum dekaimele madim b'zavi, because the mazel madim that deals with peranos and death is on the eighth hour of that day is very powerful. So you don't want to be involved in that. Mali Shabbat Naimi Kaim Bizavi. But on Erev Shabbos also the Madim at the time of at the sixth hour, which is an hour of pairs, which makes it a more dangerous hour, is also the Mazel Madim is strong. So how can we do Hakadosh Baruch Hu in Erev Shabbos? And so Gemara Kivin Dasha Ve'Rabbi Shomer Psayim Hashem, that since it's something that's a very common practice, so we assume Hakadosh Baruch Hu watches over fools. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will watch over people who are simple and who are foolish and who don't think too deeply about things, that Hashem protects people. That means that you have a shota who's unable to protect himself, and nevertheless we find that he somehow survives. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over him. So sometimes a person could be a shota and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still gonna protect the person. The Tshuvas Pri Asada, he says that it's dafka over here that you could be Samech and Shomer Psayim Hashem, because HaKazas Dam is a very healthy thing to do. So the fact that they were makers on Erev Shabbos was for health reasons. And on the other end, the Sakana has no medical explanation. The Sakana is a Sakana Segulis. So when the Sakana is only a Sakana Mitam Segula, but the benefit is a significant health benefit, that's where you're going to say Shomer Psayim Hashem. But maybe if the Sakana were an actual practical Sakana, or a Sakana that were could be explained Al Pi Derech HaTeva, maybe you wouldn't say Shomer Psayim Hashem. A person can't walk into oncoming traffic and say Shomer Psayim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect him. That's the this concept of Shomer Psayim Hashem was most famously utilized by Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Levracha, in his earlier tshuvas about smoking, that he thought that smoking cigarettes is technically not an isser because Shomer Psayim Hashem, it is so common and everyone does it without being concerned at all, and no one seems to think that it's going to cause them any long term health problems, that you might be able to say Shomer Psayim Hashem. By this point, all of Rav Moshe's talmidim and children, Rav David Feinstein as well, have all said that have Rav Moshe known then what we know now, he never would have applied Shomer Psayim Hashem. And also culturally it's changed. No one thinks that there aren't going to be long-term health ramifications. Everyone knows that they're killing themselves when they smoke. Some people are so addicted that they're willing to do it, or they so badly want to have the image of a person who's smoking that they're willing to do it. But everybody knows that they're slowly committing suicide when they smoke. So nowadays, all the poskim say that that we no longer apply Shomer Psayim Hashem, even if we ever did. Ramesha wasn't Chavetz Chaim lived before Ramesha. The Chavetz Chaim was machmir about smoking. He thought it was aser. But even if we ever did paskin like that, Ramesha, no one would paskin like that, Ramesha, anymore. So Amar Shmuel, Arba du Arba'a, on the fourth day of the week that falls out on the fourth day of the month, Arba du Arbesar, or a Wednesday that falls out on the 14th day of the month, Arba du Esrim Ba'arba, or a Wednesday that falls out on the 24th day of the month, Arba du Lek Arba Basrei, or a Wednesday that doesn't have 4 days afterwards after it in the month, Sakanta. That would be a Sakanta. Those are dangerous days. Rosh Chodesh V'sheni lo Chulsha, Shlishi lo Sakana. Rosh Chodesh, and then the second day of the month, that could cause weakness if you do Hakazas Dam, then on the third day of the month it's Sakana. Mali Yom Tov on Erev Yom Tov Chulsha will cause weakness. Mali Yom Tzarta, but on Erev Shiva is Sakanta. It's dangerous. Goz Rabbana Kulim Mali Yom Tov Mishum Yom Tov Tzarta Tzeres. And since Erev Shavuos is a dangerous time to do bloodletting, the Chamor goes there. Don't do it on any Erev Yom Tov. The reason that it's Sakana on Erev Shavuos is because there's a certain wind that comes out that's called Tavoach, because had Klal Yisrael not accepted the Torah, it would have slaughtered our basar and our dam, it would have been the end of us, through that ruach called Tavoach, and therefore it's considered to be dangerous for us. Machsa Shekel on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Tav Samaches says that you see from here this concept that when something happens at a particular calendar day, whenever that calendar day comes around again, it's imbued with that sort of koach that it could have. So since on that Erev Shavuos of Kabbalah Satorah there was this ability to destroy, or this potential of destruction, that potential revisits every year. That's really what the Beit HaMetzarim are all about. That's what the period we're in right now is all about. That since this has been a time of Chorban and a time of suffering for the Jewish people, there is a concern each and every year when it comes around that it could be a time, lo aleinu, of further suffering. Amar Shmuel, Achal Chita Hibihikiz Dam, if a person ate wheat and then did Akaz Dam, lo ikiz ala osa chita, all that he affected was getting rid of the effect of that one piece of wheat that he just ate. Ani mili refuah, that's as far as if he's makers for refuah, avala kule makel, but if he's being makers dam to lighten his burden, then it does work even after eating. Hamakers dam shasia li alter achila ad chatzi mil. If you're makers dam, you should drink right away, but eating is until a half of a meal. So yibayli, what does that mean? Shasia li alter mali al basra. Are we saying drink right away, and if you don't drink right away, it's not going to be particularly healthy? Or do we say no, if you don't drink right away, it's going to be very unhealthy? So teku. So the Gemara says we leave that unresolved. Dibayilu, and similar shayla, achila ad chatzi mil, hu dekamali. Do we say up until a meal, achila will help? Habasarachi makami achi kashi. But if you wait more than the shear of a meal, or you eat before that shear, then not only is it not going to help, but it's going to be bad for you. Maybe it's neither good nor bad for you. So teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. Machriz Rav. Rav used to announce, Mea Kari Bezuza, that do not buy gourds unless you can get 100 of them for a zuz, meaning they're unhealthy foods, so don't buy unhealthy foods unless you get a really great deal on them. Mea Reishi, 100 heads of animals, don't buy it unless bezuzah, unless they give you a zuz. Mea Sfami, 100 lips of animals, velo klum, don't give anything for them. Amar Rav Yosef, Ki Avina Be Rafuna, when I was in the Beis Medrash of Rafuna, Yomad de Mefagri Be Rabbanan, on the day that the Talmidim were lazy and they didn't come to the Beis Medrash, Amri Ha'ina Yomad de Sfamihu, they said, today is the day of the lips, velo yadana my kamri, but I didn't know what they were talking about. Now I get it, they were trying to say that it's a lost day, just like the lips of an animal that are not worth anything. They don't provide any sustenance, any nourishment. It's not worth anything. V'koshna tabr. So now to finish off the parak, the Gemara is going to talk about what we do for a newborn on Shabbos right after he's born. So we had said in the Mishnah that we tied the tabur of the vlad on Shabbos, the umbilical cord. So Tan Rabbanan, koshna tabr. Rabbi Yosi Amar af chotchin, that we would cut it as well. V'tomnin ashilya kedei sheyecham avlad, and we hide away the shilya. something that would warm it in order that it would warm the vlad. That's some type of skula. That doesn't have any explanation why warming the shilya is then going to warm the vlad. The sack that the vlad was in is no longer providing warmth for the vlad, but that was the belief. The Benos Malachim used to put the shilya in these oil bowls. Benos Ashirim b'sfogim shel tzemer, in cuts of wool, and Benos Aniyim b'molchin, whatever stuffing that they can find. We pass on the Rabbi Yossi that you can cut the tabor on Shabbos. That everyone would agree, even the Chacham would agree, that if it's twins, then you could cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos, not just tie it. My timer, because otherwise they're going to pull against each other and it's going to be bad. Whatever the parsha said, whatever it says in the parsha that Yecheskel Hanavi was mochiach klal Yisrael, and he explains to them the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with them, osin l'chaya b'Shabbos. Whatever is said in the context of that parsha, you could do for a chaya on Shabbos. You could do for a birthing woman on Shabbos. Shenamer umelodatayich b'yom haledes osach lo karas sheirech. They didn't cut the umbilical cord. B'mayim lo rechatzta l'mishi, and they didn't bathe the skin in order to smooth out the skin. V'amelach lohim lachta, and they didn't apply salt in order to harden the flesh. V'hachte lochutalta, and they didn't wrap in begadim in order to straighten out the limbs. So the pasuk is Yecheskel telling Klal Yisrael through a mashal that Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael when he was goelas from Mitzrayim, like you have a respectable person who finds a baby born in the field that's been abandoned, and no one has done anything for the baby. None of the normal tikkunim you would do for a baby right after childbirth have been done. And that person, that honorable person, comes and has rachmanus and saves the baby's life. And then when the baby gets a little bit older, he marries and becomes a woman, he marries her. So we go phrase by phrase. We see that we do birth a woman on Shabbos. Lo karas sharech. We said that you didn't cut the umbilical cord. Mikan shechotchen atabur b'Shabbos. That you do. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. O b'mayim lo rechatz to the mishi. Mikan sherochsin avlad b'Shabbos. We see from there that you bathe the baby on Shabbos. V'amelech lo umlacht. Mikan shemolchen avlad b'Shabbos. That you apply salt in order to strengthen its flesh on Shabbos. V'hachtel lo chutalt. Mikan shemlafin avlad b'Shabbos. We see from there that you wrap the baby in begadim and you tie it up on Shabbos in order to straighten out all of the baby's limbs. Hadron lach mefan b'Hashem. Tomorrow we will begin the next parak Reb Lazar Demila and Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. I apologize again for those listening on the recording that the recording started a bit late today. B'Hashem, tomorrow we will we'll pick up with the new parak.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Rabbi, it's very interesting that almost all of the advice that they give to blood letters is advice that gets given to blood donors today.
Yeah, that is interesting.